Listen to the sound of men shaving their balls before the age of Manscaped. Yeah! Those screams are a thing of the past thanks to Manscaped. No more cuts and nicks with the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, featuring advanced skin-safe technology so you keep your bad boys nice and smooth. The battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer, more satisfying shave. So many people have written in stories about how the Lawnmower 3.0 has changed their lives. They even included pictures so I could see the smoothness for myself. They aren't kidding. You need to try this out for yourself. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code VSIN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. 20% off, free shipping to manscaped.com. Use the code VSIN. Your partner and your balls will thank you. Taming the briar patch, mowing the lawn, or trimming Yeti, whatever you call it, it's about time we all talked about manscaping. 9 out of 10 women of all ages prefer their guy manscaped. But you gotta have the right tools for the jewels. Pop over to manscaped.com, check out their perfect package, the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. That was a smash hit on Shark Tank. It features the Lawnmower, a precision trimmer engineered for below-the-waist grooming. Its skin-safe technology means no more accidental nicks and burns. Check out the Lawnmower and the amazing grooming and hygiene products that come with your perfect package. Get 20% off plus free shipping today. Visit manscaped.com. Use the promo code BETS. Again, use promo code BETS at manscaped.com. Manscaped.com.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander, broadcasting only on the Vegas Stats and Information Network.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Analytics, statistics, and more are used to win wagers, and Gil has every number you need to cash your tickets. Now, live from the VSIN studios in the South Point Hotel and Casino, it's Gil Alexander.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSIN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSIN.com, the VSIN app, Fubo TV, Sling TV, Game Plus throughout Ontario. And we hear you in the T-Dot, Toronto, with the Raptors on the cusp of their first NBA Finals, and all throughout New York City and New Jersey. Appreciate everybody listening, checking us out on video here on the show. One little tennis note here before we move on. First, I should say, number one seed Naomi Osaka at the French Open, who recently, fitness has been a concern. She gave walkover wins to Annette Contaveit in Stuttgart recently, also to Kiki Bertens in Rome in recent weeks. Fitness has really been an issue. She's minus 1250 as the number one seed in her match right now against Anna Karolina Shmidlova, depending on where you put the accent. And Osaka got skunked in the first set, 6-love. So again, it's about, you can't bet on her with the fitness concerns. And she was down a break in set number two. Shmidlova had the match on her racket, and Osaka just broke back. We haven't heard the end of Naomi Osaka. So a little fortitude right there. A little resolve from Osaka here in her match. A much more exciting first-round match at the French Open than many would have anticipated. We'll see how that goes. Now for something fun, though. Ladies and gentlemen, as promised, hour number two of a numbers game today. All in studio with my mishpucha, the South Point Hotel Casino sportsbook director, Chrissy Andrews. Good morning, Chrissy.
What's going on, Gil? You got your haircut just for me? Are you joining the Marines? Which
I was waiting for somebody to say something about that. It's a real bad haircut is what it is, Chris.
It's a close one.
Yeah. It's a real bad one. Well, you know, here's the thing, though. It grows.
So, theoretically. Ideally.
So I got that going for me.
Okay.
But thank you for noticing.
You're welcome.
It's very kind of you. All right. For those who have been trapped under a heavy object, Chrissy has a book out. This has been, we've anticipated this for years, haven't you?
I checked back. I was 59 when we started this. So I'm 63 now. So
wow.
It's like 4 years in the making.
You were in your 50s when
we started. I was in my 50s.
This.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's called Then One Day, 40 Years of Bookmaking in Nevada. Chris Andrews, there's a picture of it on screen. I don't have to hold it up. It is available, still pre-order?
Well, for if you want the actual copy of it, yes. You know, the physical copy, but you can get it on Amazon right now. I think it's $9.99 for the e-version. There's a couple other e-platforms that I'm really not familiar with, but you know, Amazon, Kindle, that's probably the easiest one.
You're not hip to the e-platform?
I am not.
Not your thing?
I am not.
I'm not necessarily either, but the hard copy you can pre-order.
June 11th, so June 11th. What are we talking about? Yeah, you know, 2 weeks.
Couple weeks.
Something like that.
But yes, this is, and so, listen, first of all, let me just, I'll thank you on air as I did behind the scenes. Thank you for being so generous in including me in much of what was going on. I had the honor of writing the, of having written the foreword in this. And it is, I said, it was the most, the proudest I've been of anything I've ever done is to have the foreword in your book. Really?
You haven't had that exciting of a life.
No, well, maybe not.
No, I appreciate that. Really, I make a joke out of it, but yeah. I appreciate that. And, you know, it all started from doing your podcast all those years ago.
Story times.
Yeah, even, you know, we say 4 years in the making, but really it was before that that we started telling the stories and people encouraged me to write this book. And, you know, if you're not a well-known author, which... Obviously, I'm not. It takes a while to get this thing shopped around. And
John Grisham, you are not?
I am not. I wish I were. But, you know, you get that out there, and you have to sell it to a publisher. Then they have to edit it, and then they have to print it.
It's also hard to find a publisher,
it
right?
It really is. Yeah. I mean, I go to Barnes & Noble, and I see all these new books. How did they do this? You know, I had so much trouble. But, you know, eventually we got out there, and here we are.
So this book has some of those same stories, but also additional ones.
Yeah, there's definitely some additional ones, some that probably I've told you privately that we had to leave out.
Oh, but you got them in here.
Nah. Well, there's one that I put in that I was a little shaky on, the dingo food.
Oh, yes.
And let me just say that needed some creative editing on my part to leave out some key some key facts.
As long as some people are still alive, you can't really get into it.
There's one particular guy that I would probably be afraid of. Yeah.
If he didn't. Okay. Well, that's good. So we're also going to give away. You have two signed copies.
Yeah, I got a couple copies myself that they gave me.
Okay.
And I know VSiN also got a shipment in too. So why Amazon's waiting so long, I really don't know. Although Anthony Curtis, who's on this show often, who is the boss at Huntington Press, he told me, he says, we've definitely attracted the attention of Amazon, whatever that means. So the pre-orders have been very strong. And, you know, I think the book's going to sell pretty well.
Feel like telling one of the stories right now? You want to get into one?
Sure. I got a. I went through last night, yesterday, and this morning, and look at all these markings. I mean, I have so many that I'd love to tell.
It's always hard to choose. Well, let's do this. Let's give before you even tell one.
Okay.
Let's give away the first of these, and I don't want to do this for everyone because it's unfair if you never listened to the podcast, the Beating the Book podcast. But for those who did listen to Storytime on the Beating the Book podcast, as always, marked by the lady's voice that said, "Hey, everybody, it's story time." That's how they always started.
Yeah.
That's my imitation of her. And for those who listen to those podcasts, tweet Chrissy at Andrews Sports and me as well, if you'd like, at Beating the Book. Andrews with two S's in the middle there, Andrews Sports. Tweet us both your favorite story and why. And then, Chrissy, we can pick one.
Okay. Yeah,
and
that
we'll
sounds reasonable.
We'll give away one. Okay. And we'll do it. We'll do the second book a different way.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what the VSiN. Oh, I know VSiN is giving away when you get the newsletter, you get a
that's
free
correct.
Copy of the book, too.
So. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Okay.
We have that as part of VSiN's one-year all-access subscription package, where you get your book, Chrissy's new book, as a bonus. So it's 52 issues of Point Spread Weekly, VSiN's digital magazine on sports betting, a 24/7 live video stream of VSiN programs plus replays, upcoming college and pro football betting guides that we have, afternoon email update with highlights from the day's program, and then you also get Chrissy's book. Because if you buy now at a cost of less than $5 per week, all the stuff I just mentioned, the book gets thrown in as part of the deal. Then one day, 40 years of bookmaking in Nevada by our very own South Point Sportsbook Director, Chris Andrews. That's at vsin.com/subscribe, vsin.com/subscribe. But we'll give away one right now again. Andrews Sports, Beating the Book. What was your favorite story that you remember on Storytime and why? And we'll select one here towards the end of the show. And then, Jeff, you can send it to him. How about that? Does that sound exciting? All right. producer number five, Jeff Barles.
All right. We got a quick story to tell?
Please, let's tell
I think
a story.
I got one of the shorter ones marked here.
Okay.
And I'm not going to read it. I think later on I'm going to read.
Oh, you're going to read straight from the...
No,
from the...
not this one, oh, okay. But there's one later on. Let's just say the crying Kenny story.
Oh.
I think I'll read that one.
Classic.
So that's one of the all-time classics. But I think I could tell this. I know we only got a couple minutes here, so I could tell this
Take
one.
Your time. Take all the time.
I was very, you know, if you read the book, you'll find out I grew up with my Uncle Jack, who is one of, he's on the Mount Rushmore of the Hall of Fame bettors in this town. He was a bettor, not really a bookmaker, until he kind of worked, He worked for Michael Gaughan and was like the consultant. So he wasn't booking out of his pocket, but he was the consultant with Michael, and that's how my connection with Michael came about. Anyway, he was, you'll read about how this all came about. He came to Las Vegas in 1970. I was 14, and I was flying out, you know, fairly often, even at that young age. And, you know, we lived in a nice apartment, and we had a swimming pool and all that other stuff. And one of the things I got to do is I got to have lunch almost every day with him and his collection of wise guys. Bob Martin, Bobby Brent, Jackie Gaughan, Johnny Clinton. I mean, just, you know, again, the Hall of Fame. Bob Martin was definitely one of those.
Bob Martin, who you have mentioned many times before, the line in Vegas was from that one person, Bob Martin.
When you said, like, the line opened six, that meant that's what Bob Martin opened. It's so different today.
It's amazing.
You could say the line opened six. Well, where? Pinnacle, Chris, some other outfits, you know. No, this in those days, Bob Martin opened the line, period.
And you were 14 and you were pretty
I was adult. 14 when I met Bob. And like I said, I don't claim to be the smartest guy in the world, but I knew enough to keep my mouth shut and listen to these guys talk. And I learned so much that you could just never really repeat. I mean, these guys grew up doing it. So anyway, I got to know Bob. And Bob, if you knew Bob, he had, like, the greatest sense of humor in the world. He was a great ball buster and just a hilarious guy. Had he chosen a different walk of life, he easily could have been a stand-up comedian or a writer on, you know, your show of shows with Sid Caesar or something like that. Anyway, so back in those days, it was the early to mid-70s when HBO decided to get Bob and Bobby Berendt, who I always called my Uncle Bobby, and he's in the book too, and Lem Banker. I didn't know Lem well, but I knew him a little bit. And they would have, like, the opening line, and it was, like, live. Bob would open the line, and those guys would bet into it, and then Bob would, you know, publish a line and start taking bets after the show on HBO.
You just said HBO. Most people today don't realize this. HBO had a gambling show.
They had a gambling show hosted by Tom Kelly. If anybody, you know, like our age, remembers the old USC announcer.
Hmm.
And what was his one? Oh, if a guy ran out of bounds, discretion being the better part of valor.
Don't make me bring up Franco Harris right now. This is a whole different aside.
Oh, so, we can get into that too.
So, anyway, what year is this again for HBO having a gambling show?
You know, mid-70s.
Okay.
You know, this is like when they first started. They were dying for programming. They had some really bad stuff on. This was on for 2, maybe 3 years. You know, never really caught on. But, you know, guys like me, you watch it. So, anyway, Bob knew a bunch of us from back in Pittsburgh. And one time Bob was on the show, and he was like the quote-unquote host. Actually, Kelly was a host, but he was like the whatever you want to call it. Anyway, he said, oh, before we get started, we'd like to say hello to all our friends in Pittsburgh. And he names a bunch of guys, half of them in my family, and I don't get mentioned, you know. Now, like you said, at the time, I'm a 21-year-old kid. But I could still tease Bob. He was that kind of guy. He didn't mind you busting his balls. So I gave a message to my Uncle Jack. I said, tell Bob I'm greatly offended. He mentioned all these guys in Pittsburgh, and I didn't get a mention. You know, I'm a college kid. So Bob on the next show says, oh, my God, I can't believe I left out Chris Andrews. I humbly apologize. And, of course, he's sticking it to me a little bit as he says it. So now they go through the games. And he goes through the games, and he gets to Bobby Berendt. My Uncle Bobby. Bobby looked like Don Rickles and was like the gruffest character you ever met in your life. Bobby says, Bob, I can't believe you'd left out my nephew, Chris. So this is a special game I'm giving to Chris. You know, boom, Bobby gives it out, win. A pretty easy winner. So every week from there on, Bobby would give out his best bet of the week was for Chris.
And that was you.
And that was me.
On HBO.
On HBO. And, you know, I mean, needless to say, I had a hell of a season because, I mean, Bobby didn't hit 100%, but probably well over 70. I can tell you that with his best bets of the week. Bobby, one of the all-time greats. So this went on for a while. And now, like I said, Bob Martin is Babe Ruth. So this is like maybe year two or three or whatever. So Bob's given the line, and I remember it was Seattle and the Browns. And he says, okay, I'm going to make – God, I should have – I got so many notes in here. I think it was Seattle was the side. He says, I'm going to make Seattle 3, and I have a feeling this game's going to be for Chris. Bobby dings in. This game isn't for Chris, but I like Cleveland plus the 3. And Bob Martin looks up and says, do you hear that, Chris? That game is not for you. So knowing Bob, I know he likes the other side.
He likes the other side.
Well, like I said, this is Babe Ruth telling you to go. And so I made the first nickel bet of my life. I'm maybe 22, you know, 21, 22. So Jesus, I got Bob Martin giving me a game. It's not like Bob was out there giving games out, you know. Bob Martin gave me a game. So I went out, I bet a nickel on Seattle. And they win by like a million. It was never even close, you know. I gave it to a couple friends of mine. And now these guys think I'm like the sharpest guy. First of all, I've been giving them games of Bobby Berent's all year, 2 years. Now I give them a game from Bob Martin. Wins by a million. So anyway, I get to Vegas the year after that. I'm like 23. I get to Vegas. And, you know, you got your name tag on. I'm working at the Stardust. And some guy said something like, oh, Chris, boy, that's funny. It sounds like the guy on the HBO show. I said, well, yeah, that was me. You're kidding me. Bobby Berent and Bob Martin, yeah, they're giving you games. The guy says, I figured it was some old Jewish guy from Brooklyn or something like that. I says, no, it's just me, you know.
Just me.
You got to be kidding. And the word spread throughout, you know, like I said, I was working at the Stars, which was like one of the places at the time. This is Chris. This is the actual Chris. Can you believe that? So,
it's amazing.
Like I said, I got to town and I was like, you know, famous within our little circles because of that one.
Well, what's amazing about this, and I know it's you, right? So it's you in your own skin, and this is the life you've led. But you ever stop for a second, and maybe you mentioned this at a point in several points in the book, but do you ever stop, like, on just any given day and say to yourself, wow, what a life.
Oh,
like,
God, yeah.
How sure. Unbelievably unique your experience is. And by the way, that's just scratching the surface, right? Like, we get Orange Electra and all that. People from the show know, people from the podcast remember that. But, like, what a charmed, unbelievable life.
Well, I actually mentioned it many times in the book.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I was reading again, if I could just read the last line of the book, you know, I have said just how this is the last paragraph of the book. Life is good. I hope I'll be sticking around for at least a few more years, but even if I go tomorrow, I've told my family to make sure at my funeral, everyone knows I had one hell of a life. I'm one lucky, lucky guy.
So there it is.
That's the last line of the book.
There's the
story. But I mentioned it a couple of times. Yeah, I've been, like I said, you're 14 years old, you're having lunch with Bob Martin and Jackie Gaughan. I mean, who gets to do that?
Jeez. It's amazing. Chris Andrews. The book is Then One Day, 40 Years of Bookmaking in Nevada. It is available on Amazon for pre-order in the hard copy. You can get the e-version now if you want, but if you want the hard copy, pre-order June 11th is when it will come to you. And we're getting flooded here at Beating the Book in Andrews Sports.
Oh, really? Wow.
Reasons, what was your favorite story on Storytime on the podcast and why? And we'll pick one or two, maybe. Maybe we'll just have to pick both that way here at the end of the show. Chrissy will do the honors. Maybe I will, so you don't have to have
maybe
the burden.
Maybe you will,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to have the burden.
I went through trying to get my favorite stories, and I have more markers than I got pages in the book, I think.
Jeff will make you the bad guy, maybe, at the end. Someone will have to pick two, but these are all great. We'll come back. Another story from Then One Day with Chris Andrews right here on The Numbers Game at VSiN.
It's a numbers game, live from the tip of the strip in Las Vegas. Get your fill of numbers even after the show is over by following the crew on Twitter, @BeatingTheBook and @VSinLive. a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
The book is Then One Day, 40 Years of Bookmaking in Nevada, written lovingly by our friend Chrissy Andrews, who's kind enough to join us in studio here for the second hour of the show to talk about some of the stories in the book. And honestly, our scheme of how we're going to give these away, there's just no way any of us can pick. No way. Because there's too many of them, and they're too good. By the way, you got to say not only your favorite story, but why you like the favorite story. Can't just say which one. Because obviously, let me just say, Crying Kenny leading by a landslide.
Crying Kenny leading, yeah, that's like secretary to one of my 31 legs.
That's right. Crying Kenny by a landslide. But we're going to put them in. Brendan, behind the glass here, has decided we're going to put them all in the random generator. Is that what? Yeah, so none of us are going to be a bad guy. We're going to put them in the random generator. But everybody, if you want to be in that generator, keep tweeting at Beating the Book and at Andrew Sports. Always amusing. We're reading through all of them. And some of the stories I even forgot about.
You know, I went through yesterday. I actually had lunch yesterday with Michael Gaughan and Frank Todi and gave them each copy of the book, naturally. And Michael wrote, Adventures in Bad Bookmaking. I can't read. And I kind of forgot some of those stories.
That was the one, if I'm not mistaken, where you had a bunch of little ones and you threw them
in. A bunch of little ones.
Yeah.
Kind of threw some in there.
Okay.
I got the Max story, which I think is a pretty good one.
Max was the guy on the bus with the big...
No.
Max was the hitman. That was the one. And again, for those who didn't listen to the podcast, apologize for the reminiscing, but this is where we sort of started this. That was the one that when you told the story...
Yeah.
I was Googling while you told it the first time, and everything you were saying was not only true, but true in spades. Like, it was amazing.
I think as I was telling you, too, if you go and listen to the original podcast, my heart was beating pretty loudly
as
I was retelling the story, because, I didn't know if I was going to make it out of there or not. Yeah, I really didn't.
All of that's in the book.
All that's in the book.
Okay.
Is it better to read these or just tell them?
I don't know. I think it's probably better if you tell them whatever you feel more comfortable with.
Yeah, probably telling.
Yeah, I think so.
So let's do the math.
Otherwise, we're in library class. Yeah.
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 Yeah, you could read it for yourself. Let me just kind of
do Max. Yeah, because Max.
Max is a good story. So I was 25 years old when I got hired to run the Cal Neva. So pretty young. And even though I grew up like in a wise guy household, spent a year at the Stardust, which is a great education, lunch with Bob Martin, as I said, worked for a year with Michael Gaughan and got to know Jackie Gaughan pretty good, I still would say I was not that experienced as far as dealing with the real underworld of that shows up in our business sometime. So I'm running the Cal Neva, and I have this guy. He's a really good horse player. I ran the race and sports book. Really good horse player. And we had a little book. If you're looking at this studio, I think this would be the size almost of the book. You know, maybe a little bit bigger, but not much bigger than that. Hmm. So a good horse player was invaluable. Guys playing horse, I got to know him a little bit. We'd have coffee every once in a while, maybe a drink after work. It evolved into dinner maybe once every couple weeks, something like that. So I got to know the guy pretty good, I thought. And one night at dinner, he told me he took care of business for Meyer Lansky. Now, those guys, I know there's a lot of young guys out there listening to this show and maybe don't know, the history of, the underworld in America. Meyer Lansky was probably the number one Jewish mobster, probably of all time, And Max, again, Max was Jewish, Max Kirshner.
Meyer Lansky, known as the mob's accountant.
Yeah.
Gangster.
Yeah, he was definitely a gangster and, probably not a guy you want to cross. And Max was his guy. Now, that's what Max told me. I'm thinking to myself, what, would he tell me that? I'm not sure. I mean, to this day, I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, this goes on. He told a few people at Cal Neva. He was hanging out there. I don't know if he was on the run or whatever, hanging out in Reno. We didn't know whether to believe him or not. But there's definitely some things that he did and knew about that made you think he's definitely something. He's not your ordinary horse player, I can tell you that. So anyway, we got to know each other. He winds up falling in love with this one girl who was working for me. Just so happened, I happened to fall in love with her, too. Very pretty girl. her and I, she turned down Max and started dating me. Not long after that, I had gotten to know Max pretty good. We were going to dinner fairly often now. And Max told me, he says, you know, I'm out of money. I got some money coming in later this week. And he did. He had a lot of money, went through it pretty good. He said, can you lend me $800? Where he come up with that, I don't know. I says, yeah, okay. So I give him the $800. And like I said, I'm 25 years old. This is 1982. You know, $800 to me was quite a bit of money, but I gave it to him. Next day, he's gone. He disappears. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, 800 is not going to kill me. Max might kill me, but $800 isn't going to kill me. So I figured I just wrote it off as like, you know, one of those lessons in life.
Might not want to pursue that.
Yeah, I was definitely not going looking for Max for the $800. So anyway, a couple months go by, you know, not that long, maybe 6 weeks or something go by. This young lady and I, who I wound up marrying, by the way, her name is Sharon. So Sharon and I, you know, we weren't married at the time. I said, let's go to the, we had a day off together. Let's go to the racetrack at Bay Meadows down in San Francisco. You know, like I said, live in Reno. So we drive down, go, we're in the turf club and all that. And I come around the corner. Who else is coming around the corner at the exact same time? Max.
Uh-oh.
I'm thinking, well, you know, I got to say something here. You know, like I said, I knew enough. Like, I don't want to pretend like I was this super wise guy, but I knew enough. Like, with these kind of guys, you can't let them trample you. I mean, you can get the best of you, sort of, but you can't let them trample you because they'll really trample you. Yeah, I mean, you'll have no shot. So I figured I had to say a little something, but of course, you have to be a little delicate too in the way you phrase things. So I see Max come down. I say, hey, Max. And right away, I look at Sharon. I say, go take a walk. Because I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what's going to happen here. And the last thing I need, I'm in love with this young lady. If he's going to do something to me, I certainly don't want him doing it to her. You know, so yeah. Go take a walk.
Don't want him even knowing what she looks like or anything.
Well, he knew that. But I'm thinking, here he is. He owes me money. I stole his best girl from him.
Right.
You know, this might turn ugly pretty quick. So I said, hey, Max, what's going on? Oh, hey, kid, how you doing? You know, we just exchanged a pleasantry or two. And I said, Max, am I ever going to get that $800 back? He says, well, you know, I was going to come up and see you, but I couldn't. I said, well, you know, why not? He goes, well, I was in the hospital. I said, you were in the hospital? He goes, yeah, I got shot. Well, right away, just me being the smart ass that I am. I don't know why I even did this. I got shot. I says, well, congratulations. He says, well, what are you talking about? I says, well, you're the first guy in history to spend a month in the hospital and gain 30 pounds, which, again, a little backstory. He was one of those guys who would gain and lose weight like no one I've ever seen in my life because he was a little guy, but he was powerful. So I've seen some of those guys that can gain and lose weight like crazy. He was the top of the list. Well, he starts laughing when I said that. Something right there. Okay. He's probably not going to kill me. I got him laughing. He says, yeah, kid. He says, I know you're really good to me, and I'll make the money good. I'll come up one day and we'll settle up. And I said, okay, Max. And we shook hands. And like I said, I was highly relieved that this was no more the confrontation that actually, you know, that it turned into. Anyway, I go back up. And let's just say when I counted myself down every night, I didn't include the $800. You know, I figured that's long gone. So, back in those days, again, for you know people that don't understand, we had no internet, no Google, no nothing like that. If you wanted to follow sports from another town, you had to get the out-of-town newspapers. Well, the San Francisco Chronicle was one of the great newspapers in America, a particular sports section. So I was getting the Chronicle every day, and usually I'd get the sports section and just throw the rest of the paper away. This day, for some reason, I didn't do that. I got the Chronicle, read the sports. I started perusing through the rest of the paper. Come to the local section, so local Bay Area news. And right there it says, man murdered in San Mateo motel parking lot. Max Kirshner was, you know, shot, you know, killed. Some guy put a shotgun up to his neck and killed him, died on the way to the hospital or whatever it was, pronounced dead. And I'm like, holy crap. I, you know, I you know, this is not the way most people die.
No.
You know, let's just say it. So something was going on. Right next to that article, was Meyer Lansky got indicted for something completely unrelated. And I mean, there's no way this is a coincidence. I mean, it would be a trillion to one shot that this is a coincidence.
Somebody at the Chronicle was sending a message without having to say it.
Yes. Somebody at the Chronicle knew something, you know, and like I said, I can't remember, you know, Lansky was in and out of indictments his whole life, you know, so who knows what this was about. I can't remember. But I'm reading it and I think, geez, you know, and just to back up, and I left out a big part of the story, which is why when you write these stories, you have to get it all in order.
Yeah.
When Max was going through this, and I didn't know what he was or what he wasn't, I knew a guy who was a bookmaker, like under Lansky's protection. Didn't work for Meyer, but was like, I'm sure he had to piece him off. Meyer wasn't doing anything for free. So I called the guy, and he told me. And I explained to him who Max was and what. He says, you know, I don't recognize the guy. He says, but it sounds like a guy Meyer would use.
Yeah.
And I remember before I hung up, his last words to me were, be careful.
Be careful.
Be careful.
Well, when you first told the story,
I'm telling this right now.
As you're telling it, yeah. Much like when you first told it on the Beating the Book podcast during story time.
I didn't tell too many people that story, by the way.
No, so I'm you know, I'm Googling here furiously, and literally, like, it's like microfiche type of stuff comes up. And here is from some publication, I'm not sure which, boasting hitman slain in San Mateo, known for temper.
And, he was definitely known for his temper.
And you're like, hey, you gained 30 pounds. You're the only known for his temper.
I can't believe I said that.
You're taking shots. But here's the deal. There are books written about Max Kirschner.
K-U-R.
K-U-R. There are books written about him. In January 1982, he was killed by a shotgun blast to the back as he walked to his car in the parking lot of a motel in San Mateo, California. And in the UPI, United Press International, in their story on this, back there in 82, Kirschner, 49 years of age, claimed to have murdered 53 people.
I'm glad it wasn't 54, because I know who number 54 would have been.
Congratulations. You're the only guy gained 30 pounds.
I can't believe I said that. I look back now. What was I thinking?
53, Chris. Max Kirschner. By the way, what is the name of this book? I don't want to take people away.
Joey Black. I know.
Joey Black. That was the name of the book. Yeah, because he went by Joey, but his real name was Max. Or the real Joey, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I knew him as Max, which was his real name.
Yeah. The real Joey. Yeah. Your book, once again, Then One Day, 40 years of bookmaking in Nevada. Again, folks tweeting at Andrew Sports and at Beating the Book. We'll put them in the random generator. We'll give away a couple signed copies.
Well, we thought an hour was going to be enough. It's not even close.
No, it's not even close. We'll try to give one more.
Okay.
I think I know where we're going with
well,
the next
one. Well, we have
one.
To. Yeah, we have to.
Crying Kenny coming up on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
It's A Numbers Game, live from the tip of the strip in Las Vegas. Get your fill of numbers even after the show is over by following the crew on Twitter, at Beating the Book and at VSIN Live. Now, back to A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander. Broadcasting live from our VSIN studios in Las Vegas.
Back on A Numbers Game, real treat this morning. Chrissy Andrews in studio talking about his book. Long-awaited book, long in the making. Chris was in his 50s when he first conceived this.
A whole decade ago.
Jeez. It's called Then One Day, 40 Years of Bookmaking in Nevada. Let me just say, there are pictures in this book as well.
Some great pictures.
There's lots of pictures.
I used to have hair.
That, for those who are looking at the screen at VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo TV, Sling, or at Game Plus, and you're like, who are these two characters? That guy on the left is Chrissy Andrews. Can I ask you a question? What's going on with your mustache? What is that look?
That Fu Manchu kill, that was the 70s.
You look awesome.
Actually, that was the 80s. Then look at Roxy. Needless to say, we both look quite a bit different nowadays.
Was Roxy in Bachman-Turner Overdrive? I did not know that.
He played bass.
Look at Roxy.
He wasn't much of a singer.
Well, look at Roxy.
But some great old pictures, the old Churchill Downs, which I mentioned in the book. Great pictures of me and my Uncle Jack. And I teased Vinny. Vinny's like in 7 pictures. I said, you're in more pictures than I am in this book. Who wrote this?
Okay. Apparently, Vinny was making editorial decisions for the book.
Like, you do lose a little control once you hand that over to the publisher. You really do.
That had to have been like a challenge in some respects for you. This has been your baby, and then you have to sort of see.
Yeah, it was. Deke Castleman was the editor, and I wouldn't say we fought. That'd be unfair to Deke, but we had some disagreements. Let's put it
that way. Deke was very kind to me about my forward on email.
Deke was, Deke really, and I put him in my acknowledgments. He made the book so much better than my original transcript, so.
A couple more tweets here, again, at Beating the Book and at Andrew Sports. What a great segment today, guys. Awesome stuff. I would love an autographed copy of the book, Chris. Thanks, Gil, for having Chris on the show. All thanks to Chris. We'll put it in the random generator. We'll give away a couple.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and then one more here, Primetime 233. How about a story about how Gil and Chris met? That's a brief story.
I followed you on Twitter. I think I made a joke one day. You were talking about making a bet, and I knew you were in San Francisco. I said, "What? You don't have an out in Ukiah?"
That's right.
Northern
I remember
California
that.
For you, Ukiah. So we started following each other. I just thought you're an interesting guy, and I heard very good things about you, which is not that common in this business.
In this world,
say. And we met at the Twin Peaks restaurant.
Twin Peaks. Yeah. On the Strip, we had lunch. That's right.
We had lunch,
and the rest is history.
I still remember that one young lady was waiting on us. You may not remember. I do.
Oh, I do.
Very pretty young lady.
I do not remember, Chris.
Anyway, that's how we met.
Thinking.
And I went through, like I said, last night and this morning, it was so hard to pick stories. I knew we had to close with Crying Kenny. But I got...
You want to read this one straight from the text? That's how you prefer to do it?
I want to read this one. We had the one guy, the poker boss who was buying $22 tickets on both sides every game.
That's right.
Pappy Smith losing $30,000 at the Cal Neva.
The guy buying on both sides was a gag, right?
It was a
prank.
Gag.
He was playing on somebody
so he could bust somebody's balls.
Look, I can't miss.
So a lot of Roxy stories. I got Max mentioned. Bad adventures in bad bookmaking. I had to read through some of those. Just a real quick one that a lot of people love. The guy that was booking hockey teasers because he didn't know any better. Closed down the sports book and pretty much the whole casino.
Every few months, someone on Twitter will randomly make a hockey teaser comment based on that.
Yeah,
story.
Somebody will win like 10-2. I was like, man, I'm glad I didn't have the hockey teaser on whatever side that was.
So many great ones.
Yeah, like I said, I had lunch with Frank and Michael yesterday, and that was the first one. Michael looked at Adventures in Bad Book. Did you see our last month here? I wasn't trying to look.
It's a treasure trove, man. Treasure trove.
It really is. And I think what's really great, and like I said, you write a book like this, obviously I hope I make $1 million. That ain't gonna happen. But you really want to connect with people. And I think I've connected with a lot of people, with a lot of young people who just don't realize what the business was back in the days when I started, which I started in 1979. It was so much different than today, so much different.
Ground floor, really. That's the thing.
It's when the explosion of sports betting happened.
Yeah.
So, by the way, I do want to mention, when you buy the VSiN newsletter and you get a copy of my book, they're all signed.
The package we talked about, yes. I mentioned that you will get, as part of that cost of less than $5 a week, to get the 52 issues of Point Spread Weekly, the 24/7 live video stream of all of VSiN's programs and replays, and the upcoming college and pro football betting guides, along with an afternoon email update. For less than $5 a week, you also get Then One Day, 40 Years of Bookmaking in Nevada from Chrissy, but those are also signed copies at vsin.com/subscribe, vsin.com/subscribe. All right.
And if you buy one from Amazon, just bring it by the South Point. I'll be more than happy to sign it.
That's right. You're not one of these guys who's like, nope,
$120 to, no.
Pete Rose, you are not.
I am not. I am not. Like I said, I hope to make some money, but it's that's not why you write this book.
One of the Mount Rushmore stories.
This is one. Okay. I'm going to read this one because I was reading it this morning, and I kind of like the way it reads.
Okay.
So, taking off my glasses like an intellectual. In many ways, Las Vegas was like the Wild West in those days. Not many episodes exemplified the true character of the growing city like the incident that occurred a few years before I arrived on the scene. Around 1977, I was hanging out downtown at the Fremont. This was before I moved to Vegas, so I had turned 21 and was just making the sportsbook scene. While I was watching a basketball game I'd bet on, this guy in the back of the Fremont sportsbook was screaming at everything. Didn't matter what either team was doing, everything was a cause for this guy to yell and shake his fist at the TV. A made basket, mother effer. A missed basket, mother effer. A foul, mother effer. A rebound, a pass, a turnover, a timeout, halftime, whatever was occurring, this guy mother effed the game. By the way, I use the full word.
Yeah, that's right.
I figure we're not on HBO right now. So
Canada, you're welcome.
Yeah, okay.
That's right.
A rebound, a pass, a turnover, a timeout, halftime. Okay, the Fremont wasn't exactly a high-class joint in those days, or in these days either, now that I think about it. Nonetheless, I was somewhat surprised that no one had any sort of problem with a guy carrying on like this. Ticket writers, supervisors, customers, security, no one showed any concern. Finally, I went up to one of the ticket writers I knew and asked him who that was. Oh, that's just Crying Kenny, he said. No one pays attention to him. He's always like that. Thus, I was introduced to this infamous Las Vegas hothead. I saw Kenny occasionally over the years, though I doubt he had any idea who I was. After all, I was just one more young jagoff trying to make his way in this business, like a million other guys who came to the desert following the siren's call of an easy life from your gambling winnings. But every sports bettor in town knew Kenny, or at least was aware of him. How could you not? Kenny's act didn't play well in any of the strip casinos. Even the Stardust wouldn't put up with him. So Kenny hung around the downtown casinos or in the standalone sports books. And like everyone in town who knew Kenny, it wasn't long after finding out who he was that I heard the story that made him famous or infamous, depending on your point of view. I wouldn't call Kenny a wise guy, but he was definitely no square either. He was a degenerate at heart, but he was sharp enough to be on the right side of a number more often than not. He also bet almost all underdogs and never bet a game over. Of course, nothing could break the heart of a gambler like a game being a dead under and it sneaks over by a miracle. You know you have the right side, and instead of pocketing your winner, all the squares are cashing their tickets. You can get to the best of all of us. Then one day, it got to Kenny. It was Friday, June 4th, 1976. The Boston Celtics and Phoenix Suns were playing in the NBA Finals. The series was tied at 2-2 when Game 5 came back to Boston. This turned into a triple overtime thriller in an even series with the old guard Celtics taking on the up-and-coming Suns. It was great theater, great drama for anyone with even a remote interest in NBA basketball. If you Google best NBA game ever, Game 5 in the 1976 series will be among the top three. As thrilling as it was a heartbreaker if you bet the game under at the total of 215. You had a loser, even though you handicapped the game as perfectly as possible. After regulation ended, the score was tied at 95-95, well under the total. At the first overtime, the score was tied again, this time at 101-101. Here's the thing. With seconds of play in that first overtime, the Celtics got the ball after the Suns tied the game. They pushed the ball up the court. Paul Silas, one of the Celtic veterans, called a timeout. Trouble was the Celtics didn't have any timeouts left. In this case, the referees are supposed to call a technical foul. Instead, they ignored both Silas' request for the timeout and calling the technical foul. The Suns were livid and had a right to be. For years, the Celtics had been accused of getting away with murder for all sorts of rules violations. Whether the past accusations were true or not, this one was blatant. Had the Suns been awarded the single foul shot after time had expired, they very likely would have won the game 102-101, and Kenny would have still won his under bet. The game went to a third overtime. So I'm going to leave out some of the details on how it went to the third overtime, but it's, again, a lot of drama, but I could see we might be running out of time. Anyway, the Celtics wound up winning the game by 2 points. Anyway, once the game went up, Kenny left Bill Dark's Del Mar Racing Sportsbook. And like I said when I originally told the story, it's a little seedy. Del Mar was a little seedy joint. And like Roxy told me later, because that was one of Roxy's hangouts, he said, calling that joint a little seedy is like the greatest compliment Bill Dark ever got from Del Mar Sportsbook. Anyway, the Celtics won by 2. at the end of the third overtime, 128-126. Total obviously had long gone over the 215. It was a memorable game for Celtics lovers and haters, and historical note in the NBA history, and a heartbreaker for the Suns and their followers. Also a game that brought about one of the most legendary moments in Las Vegas sports betting lore. Crying Kenny watched game five that night. Kenny, of course, had bet the game under. Kenny was screaming at everything, everyone, every play, every call, and certainly every hoop. The Celtics got a large dose of his vitriol as they blew a 22-point lead to let the Suns back in the game and eventually tie it to send the game into overtime. Kenny and his underbet survived the first overtime of when the refs failed to call the technical on Silas at the end of overtime number one. Kenny knew he was dead. Halfway through the second overtime, when the game finally went officially over, Kenny let fly with one more outburst and stormed out of the Del Mar. Sometime before the end of the game, Kenny returned, only now he had a gun. He walked into Del Mar, openly brandishing the revolver. The crowd turned its attention from the game to check out the crazed Texan who had madness not only in his eyes but in his very soul. Everyone who really knew Kenny was aware that as a crazy, emotional, and uncontrollable as he wasn't a violent man either. The Zenith TV hanging from the ceiling, however, would not concur with that sentiment, especially not after Kenny lifted the gun, pointed it at the television set, and emptied the six-shooter into the poor, innocent collection of wires and tubes. After it hissed and spit, fell to the floor, Kenny looked around the room in triumph. "That's the last game that'll ever go over on that TV," he proclaimed, holstered the gun, and walked out.
That's the greatest. And nobody prosecuted.
Anyway, the story goes on. Kenny came in the next day, apologized to Bill.
Everything was okay.
Bill told him, "Would you mind paying for the TV?" Kenny paid. What was a TV back in those days? $200 or whatever.
Could you imagine the difference?
I go through. Can you imagine what would happen today if he did that at the South Point or did it at the Wynn, did it at the Bellagio? SWAT would be there in like 15 seconds.
Heartbeat.
He'd be in handcuffs and might never see the light of day again.
Do we have any sense of where Crying Kenny ever went?
He passed away.
He did pass away. We know that.
He went back to Texas eventually. And I think Roxy either got in touch with his daughter or knew somebody that did get in touch with his daughter. And, you know, he did pass away. And like I said, he really, as crazy as he was really at heart like a very nice guy.
Crying.
But, just another quick thing. Bill Dark with the bullet holes in the wall framed it. And, you know, had the Crying Kenny game with the score and everything else with the date. And later on, when Bill got the indoors, they got the insides painted. They forgot to tell the painters, and they painted over it. And like Rocky said, "I can't believe Bill actually got the joint painted. I don't know what it got into it." But that's the Crying Kenny story.
Crying Kenny, part of the many stories. Then one day, 40 years of bookmaking in Nevada. Back with Chrissy and Jeff's baseball pick coming up right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
It's A Numbers Game, live from the tip of the strip in Las Vegas. Get your fill of numbers even after the show is over by following the crew on Twitter, at Beating the Book and at VSIN Live. Now, back to A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSIN studios in Las Vegas.
All right, remember, besides the two copies, the two autographed copies of Then One Day, which we're about to give away, you can also do this at VSIN.com/subscribe, VSIN.com/subscribe. It's the one-year all-access subscription package at VSIN with the 52 issues of Point Spread Weekly, the live video stream, the upcoming college and pro football betting guides, email updates, also replays available as well. Also, an autographed copy of Chris Andrews' Then One Day, 40 Years of Bookmaking in Nevada, thrown in. VSIN.com/subscribe, VSIN.com/subscribe. Jeff, random name generator, who's got the two signed copies here on A Numbers Game?
All right, the winners are at That Pepsi Guy and at Big Daddy Rock 77.
Wow.
Those are our winners.
Random winners. You'll DM them, you'll get all their stuff.
We will
get, yes, exactly.
Okay.
By the way, I know he's listening. Kenny Barlow, your name got picked. I told him, no, pick another name because you were getting one anyway. So, Barlow, I didn't want to take one away from someone else.
The other great crying Kenny story that Roxy Roxborough likes to tell, of course, he had an under in a Seattle Supersonics game. It was like 0-0 halfway through the first quarter. Freddie Brown just throws up some trash, gets fouled, it goes in, and crying Kenny screams, what, are they going to score every time down the court in this game? 2-0.
Yeah, no 3-point shot in those days.
It's amazing.
Yeah, Roxy knew Kenny pretty good.
You want to do this again at some point?
Twist my arm.
Let's do it again.
I have so many stories, Gil. What did we tell, like three?
Yeah, maybe we'll do it this week, maybe next week. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll
do
it
again. Then one day, copies available again on Amazon. You missed Mitch and Pauly. They're next. Enjoy right here at VSiN.
It's a numbers game, live from the tip of the strip in Las Vegas. Get your fill of numbers even after the show is over by following the crew on Twitter, at BeatingTheBook and at VSiN Live.
Attention all homeowners in jeopardy of foreclosure. If you owe more on your home than it's actually worth, have missed one or more mortgage payments, have been denied a loan modification, or are facing foreclosure for any reason, you must listen to this message. A toll-free mortgage relief hotline's been established for anyone having their home lost in foreclosure. Just call 888-497-1876. And see if your home qualifies. We can help stop your home from going into foreclosure or even get your home out of foreclosure. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have faced foreclosure in the past year alone. This foreclosure defense group has helped thousands of people just like you fight the foreclosure process so they can stay in their homes. But you must call 888-497-1876 now to qualify. The call and information are absolutely free and the help is real. Don't lose your home. Call the Mortgage Relief Hotline now at 888-497-1876. That's 888-497-1876. 888-497-1876.